I love being a dad. It's my favorite job in the world, and I'm a fun dad.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's up, everyone? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood podcast and online. I'm very happy to have Josh Abbott. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Josh. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. You know, just another day. Woke up early this morning with the kiddos and have kind of been at it all day long. And they're taking their naps right now, so this is my time to decompress mentally and do things like this. And then in a couple hours, hell will resume and get right back to it.
That's fantastic. I know a lot of parents definitely relate. We're going to talk about your new album, The Highway Kind, in a second. Congratulations on that. This being The Art of Fatherhood, let's kind of dive into fatherhood first. And when you found out you were going to be a dad for the first time, what was going through your mind, sir?
Well, quite a bit, actually, because my wife didn't realize, we were dating still, and she didn't realize she was pregnant until she was probably 4 months in. I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes that just happens, you know. She was going to tell me in mid-February, kind of when she figured it out. But she may have been 5 months along, something like that. Anyway, this story gets crazy because my dad had a stroke mid-February.
Sorry.
And we fought for 3 weeks. And then we had to let him go. And so we buried my dad. He died March 2nd. We buried him March 6th. That entire time, my wife, my girlfriend, she wasn't my wife at the time, but I'm just going to refer to her as my wife because she is now. She didn't know how to tell me. I mean, obviously, my entire world had just gotten ripped. And losing my dad was an enormous emotional loss for us because we were a really close family. You know, it wasn't one of those situations where, you know, dad wasn't really around or was an abusive person or anything like that. I mean, we were all super close. And so losing him and then having to figure out, you know, taking care of my mom and being there for her and the whole thing. And so my wife didn't know how to tell me. Plus, she only thought she was like 2 months along. So she thought, okay, she hadn't gone to the doctor just yet, but she's like, I'm pregnant. I don't know how to tell him. So about 2 or 3 weeks after my dad passed away, I finally get to where I'm about to start touring again. And my wife, I guess she had planned, okay, this is when I'm going to tell Josh. So she flies up to the Northwest and we're playing in, I think we were in Seattle. And we might have been in Portland the night before. I don't remember. We were on the West Coast, though. And she flew in and we were at dinner before the show and literally got a call that her uncle had been shot and murdered.
Gosh.
In just a really like super nice part of Austin, a very respectable, you know, upscale neighborhood. But I guess he had gotten into it with a contractor over a bill and the contractor flipped out, went and grabbed a pistol and shot him, killed him. So she's distraught. So now's not the time. So she flies home and I'm on the West Coast. Well, obviously she wants to tell me in person, right? But she's back home in Austin now, and I'm on tour. And when I'm not on tour, I'm up in Lubbock with my family. And so, anyway, long story short, she finally tells me by the end of March. And she just has to do it on the phone because she's like, listen, there's something I've been wanting to tell you for, like, literally 2 months. And the timing has never been right. But if I keep waiting, it's not, like, it's going to be too late. So, like, I literally have to tell you. And I was like, oh, my God, are you pregnant? She said, yeah, I was so overwhelmed with joy. I was just so happy. I wasn't upset or mad or anything. I knew I loved her. I already knew I wanted to marry her. And then losing my father, I think when you lose your dad, things start to click that might not have clicked before. I found there to be some sort of, you know, poetic irony or something to it because I lost my dad and then I found out I was going to be one. And it was just kind of a nice bright light for me in a really dark time. And my daughter was then born May 5th. She was born a few weeks early. So I literally had, I don't know, 7 weeks, 6 weeks to prepare. And that makes it sound like so bad, right? It makes it sound like, oh, you know, I knocked some girl up and then she told me a couple months to go and had to scramble to be a dad. That's just not the story. Yeah. On paper, it might read like that, but it was just, there were so many details and context to it that by the time my wife told me, she went and got checked, she was further along than she thought. And then we had the baby a few weeks early. So,
wow.
So just a freaking complete rodeo. And I was actually in Kansas on May 4th. She wasn't due till late May. And, I got a call. I was in Manhattan, Kansas. And she's like, I'm going into labor. I was like, no, you cannot freaking go into labor right now. I'm in the middle of Kansas. There's no way for me to get to you. And she's like, it's happening. I'm in the bathtub now. We're timing contractions. My parents are going to take me to the hospital a little bit. And I was like, oh my God. So we scrambled to go to the airport. There's one little regional airport there in Manhattan, Kansas. And there's a couple, you know, maybe United, American Airlines flights a day. And we literally were trying to catch the very last American Airlines flight out to Dallas so then I could fly to Austin. And it was literally taking off as we pulled up to the airport. I put my head in my hands. I was just so upset. Like, right? Like, I'm going to be a dad and I'm going to miss this.
Yeah.
It was nauseating. So we started looking into private planes. I said, man, I'm going to call someone. So I'm fortunate to have some friends with planes. And I called a guy and I said, man, I'll pay for the fuel. I'll pay for the pilot. Can you please send your King Air up here to get me? And I told them the whole story and they're like, dude, we're not letting you miss the birth of your kid. We're sending the jet. So they send a jet. They call their pilot. He boogies over to the plane. He jumps in. He comes and gets me in Manhattan. He comes from Houston, picks me up in Manhattan. We go straight to Austin. I land, I get off the plane. I get in my brother-in-law's truck. He takes me to the hospital. I run in. I'm crying. She's crying. I hug her. 30 minutes later, we have the baby.
Man. Oh.
So my life is a movie. In fact, one of my best friends is William Clark Green. He's another country singer. And he's like, dude, when you write a book one day, the title has to be, I Can't Make This Shit Up. Because just the amount of just Hollywood kind of almost sounding like it's made up kind of storylines that have existed in my life are pretty crazy. And that was for definitely one of them. So that was a really long winded answer to your question. And hopefully I answered it, but, the whole process of me becoming a dad was quite a rodeo, but my attitude the entire time was 100% positive, pumped. Becoming a dad was exactly what I needed at that point in my life. And has really changed and was that final step, I think, for maturity. I think losing my dad and becoming a dad was that last step I needed to take from being kind of an immature young guy in his 30s to being a mature, responsible person.
Josh, that was not long-winded at all. I agree with your friend. This should be a movie. I'm like, just like all of a sudden I'm like thinking like, all right, this is, you know, from everything that you shared, like, of course, everything with, and again, I'm sorry for the loss of your dad. I'm sorry for, you know, the loss of your wife's uncle. Like, there's so many things that went into that. And your wife was like, all right, I want to talk to him about this great news, but I don't want it to be tinted or looked differently or just remembered when you found out with all of these different things. And in my opinion, everybody handles life and their decisions differently. But I thought, you know, your wife was smart just to kind of wait to go through the different sadness and pain you guys were going through. And then you guys could celebrate the mm-hmm. upcoming birth of your child. And life takes you in different places. And you said your daughter came in and you started to be more mature and you started doing that. I honestly feel like once you become a dad, things all of a sudden you kind of worry about. And you, I mean, there's so many things to unpack, so I'm kind of going everywhere. But you also said too, like, you didn't have that much time to prepare. And I almost think like that's almost a good thing, because when I found out when I was going to be a dad for the first time, there was some doubt. There was like, am I going to be able to do this? Am I ready? And the whole cliche is like, you're never ready. It's just like, it's going to happen. And as soon as you hold your child for the first time, things are like, okay, I got this, right? So there are different ways that you find out that you're going to be a dad. And I think yours is like we said, could be turned into a movie. All the stuff that you went through, all of the sacrifice that your wife went through, what you guys were going through, how you were trying to connect all the dots to get to the hospital to witness the birth of your child. It's amazing. So that's a story you can tell your kids over and over again, and I don't think no one will get sick of it, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a rodeo of a story. So, you know, the second time around when we had my son, it was a lot more normal.
Yeah.
It was a lot more traditional. We planned it. We knew we wanted to have a sibling close in age to our first one. Mm. And so we planned it. We were like, okay, we're going to try to get pregnant. And I think late August of 2019. And we were pregnant by the end of September. We found out in mid-October when she was probably 2 weeks along, 3 weeks along. So we found out super early, and we did the whole, like, we kind of kept it a secret from everyone for about 3 months until we felt confident enough in the pregnancy, you know, because you don't want to tell everyone you're pregnant and then something happens. So, we got a few months down the road. We got to tell everybody. I think we told everybody for Christmas. Yeah, we let them open up. We let my mom and her mom open up a joint present together, and it was baby clothing or something like that, and they were ecstatic. So, and then we had our son. We had our son June 10th of this year.
Nice.
And so he's basically right at three years younger than my daughter. And we were hoping for a girl, honestly, because we just wanted my daughter to have a sister,
yeah,
you know, that was close in age and someone that they could stand together at their weddings one day and be in a sorority. And I don't know, I'm just making stuff up, but just, you know, kind of have that bond. But the good Lord gave us this little boy, and he is so awesome and cute. His name's Luck.
Mm.
I named him after our song, The Luckiest.
Yeah.
So both my kids are kind of named after songs that I've written in a way. And I think that's really cool, and it's really special. And life's good, other than not really sleeping a lot right now. 2020's been a weird year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 2020 has kind of sucked.
Yeah.
The only bright spot for us has literally been having our son. And even then, it's just been like a lot of tired nights and mornings and days. But,
yeah.
But you know what? The silver lining is normally I'd be on tour quite a bit. And my wife, I think having a newborn and a three-year-old would be, I think it would be a little too much for her. I think it'd be pretty taxing. I think it'd be taxing on anyone. So the silver lining to me not working really is that I'm home with my kids, and I'm able to help really, you know, get through this first little 6 month period where it's really tough, you know, having a newborn and a toddler at the same time. So that's been really nice for my wife. I'm going a little stir crazy to be honest. Cause you know, I tell my wife this, I don't mean it to be bad. I'm not meant to be a stay at home dad. Mm. I love being a dad. It's my favorite job in the world, and I'm a fun dad. I'm a great dad. I'm kind of a little jealous for the first time in my life. I'm jealous of my buddies who have jobs. Yeah. They go do their job and they come home and they see their kids. And it's like, man, I'm literally with my kids from morning to night.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm not on tour. So it's a little taxing, but again, it's time we'll never get back. And it's been a nice little reset for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And just, you know, I could not even imagine having you guys go through like a birthing plan to a hospital during this pandemic when everything is just, like you said, crazy. And 2020 has definitely been a crazy year. And what you said, the silver lining, it's funny you put those words in regards to 2020, because I just recently wrote an article talking about the parenting through the pandemic. And I said, one silver lining, if you want to look at it, is like, we're able to spend more time as a family. We get to learn more about mm-hmm. each other and all that. So I definitely agree. And a couple more questions before we go into your new album, The Highway Kind, and
sure. We'll
definitely put up links where people can purchase it. What is something, I mean, just listening to you talk about your fatherhood journey, I think there's a lot of things that you've learned about life and yourself in general, but give me one example of how parenthood and how being a dad has changed the way you look at yourself or just life in general.
Sure. I'll give you a great example, a little anecdote. Just yesterday, my wife and I, last night we were going to dinner with a guy who has produced a couple records for us, and we're going to do a covers album this November.
Oh, nice.
Together. And so, yeah, so we were meeting him and his wife for dinner, and we were exiting off of this kind of highway, so to speak, onto another one. It kind of turnabout, right? Well, as we're exiting, all the cars are stopped. And I'm like, well, that's weird. So we're stopping, and everyone's slowly going around this object in the road. And as we get closer to it, it's just clear somebody was moving something in a truck, and a big box flew off, and there's something in it. And, you know, no one wants to drive over it. No one really knows what it is. So everybody's kind of stopping and going around it. And my wife's like, should we get that? And I'm like, I've already thought about it, because that's like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, look at me. But, you know, I'm a West Texas country dude. And I'm the guy that will pull my vehicle over and get out, stop cars and grab the thing and pull it to the side of the road so that it can stop with, you know, delaying cars. But I told her I wouldn't do it because it was a super busy little intersection there, you know, literally exiting off one highway, getting onto another. And I was like, the kids are in the car. It's like, babe, I'm not going to pull over and let some not paying attention exit here and then hit the back of the car. Yeah. Or hit me. I have too much to lose and I don't want it to affect. So literally I was thinking about that. It's just an example of how the way you approach life is definitely different. You know, like before when I was single, let's stay with the driving thing. If somebody had road raged or gotten on my tail or, you know, flipped me off or something, dude, it'd be on. I'd be like, we're pulling over and going, buddy. But man, I've got kids. I can't be so irresponsible and so chauvinistic and prideful that I pull over to engage in a physical altercation with someone, even if my kids aren't around. Like, what happens if that person pulls a pistol out?
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's changed my perspective a lot. I tell my wife all the time, I take my role, my job as a dad, very serious. And what I mean by that is, I've said from the beginning, my job is to provide and to protect. Everyone has their roles, and that doesn't mean that you're exclusively limited to those roles, because yeah, I still have roles that involve nurturing and caring for and listening and all these other things. But what I bring to the table that my wife doesn't, my job is to provide and protect. It's very clear, you know, and I take those responsibilities serious. So I'm super protective of our kids. I'm always kind of scouting out situations and making sure that they're not going to be in danger. And I will not make apologies for it. You know, my job is to make sure that these kids are okay.
No doubt. Yeah. You have to do what's right for you and your family. The whole idea of keeping up with the Joneses, appreciate you, you know, you sharing that, Josh, like, this is what I feel is my role and this is what we've done. And, you know, this is what we kind of set up as your family. Every family is different and whatever works for them works. So I love it, especially being in your field. And there's gotta be, you know, determination. There's going to be some hard work that has to go into making an album, going on tour. If you're getting stuck writing a song, you kind of got to pull through and keep on going. Right. So talk a little bit about some of the values you and your wife are looking to instill into your son and daughter while they're growing up.
That's definitely the challenge, right? Is to not only keep them alive, but to raise good humans, to raise, you know, kids who will become productive, you know, citizens in society at some point down the road and be responsible and be, you know, be a reflection of the values that you teach them. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't go that way. And sometimes it's parenting and sometimes it's maybe a kid's personality. Who knows? You know, definitely there's a lot of, you know, serious and kind of non-serious things that we hope to instill in our kids. You know, first of all, from a serious nature, manners has been day one agenda for us as our daughter has learned to talk. And so one of my favorite compliments that we've gotten of our daughter from numerous people over, especially over the last 6 months, as she's become more articulate, is that she's super well-mannered. She's always saying please and yes and ma'am and thank you, sir. And those were important to us, you know. And I don't want to just say that that's a Southern thing, because, you know, I'm sure on the East Coast and the West Coast, manners are also valued, but I just think that there is something about being in Texas where saying ma'am and sir and please and thank you and that kind of stuff, even just to the server who brings her lemonade today at lunch, you know, she said, I'll take a, you know, raspberry lemonade, please. And when he brought it, she said, thank you.
Yeah.
And she didn't, we don't really have to prompt her to do that anymore because it's just a part of who she is. And so that's something that makes me really proud. Because the last thing you want is your little daughter, you know, not being well-mannered. It sounds like a nightmare. So, you know, with my son, I think I'm definitely going to teach him a sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? Toughness, really, but respectful toughness. There's a difference between being tough and being a jerk. There's a difference between being, you know, someone who can take a licking or and not cry about something, but I don't want you to be a bully either. So something I'll work with my son as he continues to get older is, you know, you're not going to let anyone push you around or talk smack on you or insult you or bully you at school. You're gonna punch them in the face if they do. I don't care if they're bigger. Like, that's what you're going to do, because you're not going to back down from people. But also, if I ever hear that you're bullying a kid, it's on. Like, I'm going to smack you. And I, for those listening that are like, oh, God, call CPS, I'm not really going to smack him. But what I mean by that is just, like, it's something I won't tolerate. Like, I'll be like, you're grounded for a month. You know, you're not going to be a bully. And if you, and I just want to teach him, like, if you ever see someone making fun of someone who's mentally or physically handicapped, that's not okay. If you ever see another little boy, you know, hit a girl, that's not okay. And I expect you to be a vigilante in that situation. Yeah. Someone, they, those people, you know, especially like kids who get bullied that are, you know, maybe autistic or whatever. I'm like, that's not okay. And that's always been my attitude growing up. And I hope that I can teach that to my kid too.
Oh, I love that, man. Thank you very much. And what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads?
So what I always tell people, I've told this to a few guys that have had kids, and they said it ended up being great advice, was when you have the baby, your wife's job is that baby. I don't say job, but like responsibility. Like, I mean, we all just know that's true. And in a world and in an age where everyone's so scared to, like, assign gender roles, I'm just not. Like, there's something special about that bond between a mom and her baby, and breastfeeding and the skin, you know, skin on skin contact and all that stuff. It's just huge. It is. It's the way nature intended it. So what I tell my buddies is, your job is mama. Okay. Your job is to do everything that she normally would do, so she doesn't have to worry about it. So, dude, get familiar with the grocery store if you aren't already. You know, make sure that you know, make sure you know the kind of stuff that you buy. Make sure that you know what bills need to get paid and when. Make sure you're doing laundry. Make sure you're bringing your wife breakfast in bed. Make her life as awesome as you can, because it's a super emotional time and it's really hard. Postpartum is a real thing and it affects women differently. And, you know, your wife is going to be sleeping for 2 hours at a time for like the first 8 weeks. She's going to be drained as a human. You can't expect her to contribute to the partnership the same way that she maybe traditionally does. So I'm just all about, like, hey, step it up and do everything. Literally be Superman. You know, you might not get thanked a lot in those first couple months, but down the road, it'll be appreciated that you were, you know, so focused on helping mama be the best mama she can be for baby.
Well said, man. Great piece of advice right there. Again, Highway Kind is going to be coming out. Definitely put up links where people can purchase the album, wherever you purchase music. And of course, joshabbottband.com is where you can go for more information. But I love talking with artists, musicians. I love getting, you know, the insight, talking about creativity and all that good stuff. And you said some of the songs were linked to your kids. I was able to check out the album. I'm guessing The Luckiest has some type of influence on you being a dad, right? And talk a little about how fatherhood has kind of influenced your music now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, The Luckiest I wrote for my wife and my daughter. And I wrote that February 2019. Mm. And it came out in May of 2020, and the reason was because we knew that if we were going to have a boy, his name would be Luck. We waited on both kids to know the gender for birth. So okay. Nice. we didn't find out in advance for either kid. And obviously, with our first one, you know, there wouldn't have been a lot of room to learn anyway. But my wife was super cool about, she didn't ever find out the gender until she told me, and then we both just agreed, like, well, we're this far along, let's just wait. And we enjoyed that moment of, you know, her birthing our daughter and us me announcing that we had a girl. We loved that so much that it was tempting, but we fought off the gender, you know, reveal and all that stuff through our second one. And so, but anyway, I sell that because if we had a boy, if we were going to have a boy, we had decided on the name Luck. And I was like, well, this will make a lot more sense if we put the luckiest out. So we went ahead and cranked that song out in May. And sure enough, we had a boy. So we got to name him Luck after that song. And, you know, I write songs about my daughter, and I've written one about my son now. And so I think at some point in time, my goal is to release a series of EPs about my kids. I'll probably call it Brave and Luck, because my daughter, her name's Emery, but that means brave. And the reason we chose that is because that's a lyric from a song I put out. And I wrote about that's the first song I wrote about my wife when we were just dating. And there's a line that describes her as being brave while feeling small. And we thought that was so cute that we wanted it to be, but we didn't want to call her Brave. We weren't quite hippie enough for that.
Yeah.
So we looked up female girl names that mean brave, and we found Emery, and we loved the idea of doing that because my brother had just had a daughter named Isley, and we thought, how cool that these kids will have the same initials and be little bestie cousins, you know, almost sisters their whole lives. So
yeah.
So in terms of how he influences your music, I'd say another way it's kind of indirectly influenced music is I can't really write sad songs. I can't. I haven't written a sad song in I don't know how long. They're hard for me. And when I was writing for this new record that's coming out, The Highway Kind, I basically every single time I went and wrote with a buddy or something, I was like, hey, man, I'm cool to write whatever, upbeat, ballad, love song, drinking song, whatever, but I don't want to write a sad song because that's not where my life is right now. I don't want to sing about divorce.
Yeah.
I don't want to sing about heartache and losing my dad. I want to sing about love and my family. And so I would say that that's another way that they've directly kind of impacted me.
I love that. And not writing sad songs because you're not that frame of mind and all that. But talk a little bit about when you're approaching an album or a song. Is there a certain process that you go through, or is each song different? I obviously each song is going to be different, but is the process different? Talk a little bit about your creative process when it comes to your music, sir.
Well, my albums have always been autobiographical. So going back to the very beginning, our very first album and EP and all that stuff was, you know, very relationship based, you know, because when you're in your early 20s and you're in college, only thing you can think about is, you know, hooking up and maybe dating some girl. And so all my songs are literally about that.
Yeah.
Well, then She's Like Texas album was our sophomore album. That's kind of the album that broke us in a way and really increased our fanship across Texas and the Midwest. And that album is literally the courtship of a girl. And that's because I wrote all those songs about my ex-wife when we were dating. And then I put out Small Town Family Dream. And that was an album about being from small town America. It's an appreciation for that rural agriculture lifestyle. And then we followed that with Front Row Seat. Front Row Seat is literally a movie. It's a story from song 1 to song 16, and it's the beginning and the demise of a relationship. It's literally about my failed marriage. Mm. And it walks you through all the stages of a relationship that grows and then fails. And so then Until My Voice Goes Out was a song where it was like, I'm better again. I'm not sad anymore. I've found love, and I'm writing about love and friendships and kind of renewing and refocusing on those principles. And then my dad dies. So there's a couple songs on there that are kind of attributed to my dad. So that's again, my like 10th long answer in this interview, but, so this new album, The Highway Kind, is literally a reflection of my last 2 or 3 years. And it's happy, it's upbeat, and it's all about, you know, finding that new place in life where you're so happy in your role. and I'm really happy in mine. I love being a husband to my wife, and I love being a father to our kids. And I love where my career's at. You know, do I wish we were a little more popular? Yeah. You know, who doesn't? But I'm not going to gripe about it because we've had a really good career. We've done a lot of super cool things, and you know, it ain't over yet. I'm going to do this for a long time. So, nice. My hope is that every album we make, it's better and better. Hopefully that, you know, as I continue to get better as a writer and as a musician, the songs that I'm writing about my lifestyle and life and family, they just continue to get better. And we keep raising the bar and keep raising the bar. So, yep, that's kind of our process in the studio.
Yeah, one of the songs on this album, Old Men in Rain, I was listening to that, and I was just like...
Dude, thank you for listening to that. That's about my wife's grandfather.
Well, I just got to say, like, I mean, I know it's like the student talking to the professor with this, because this is, you know, creating music is you, right? So, but like, when I'm listening to Old Men in Rain, I'm listening to the whole album, right? And of course, it's the last album that I was able to, I mean, the last song. And just the beginning gave me the perspective. Like, I just felt like myself. I was like sitting outside, like not sitting outside, but sitting in a neighborhood. It's raining, almost like we're talking in, you know, October. It's fall, and I just see like two old guys, like chatting on someone's, like, you know, front stoop while it's raining. But of course, they're like, you know, it's on like those porches where like they're not getting rained on. Just like the music in the beginning was just like setting the tone. Like you had that, like you painted a great picture musically, and I was able to like just see something that you guys were creating, and then the lyrics and just everything you were going through, I was like, yeah, like I can relate, because like, you know, guys, like when I talk to, like, and when I used to talk to my grandfather like over the phone, like wishing him a happy birthday, he's like, oh, how's the weather over there? I'm like, why is he always worried about the weather? Why is he always asking about the weather? But it's like, yeah, because it's something that like is not going to create like controversy, arguments, whatever the case may be, right? So I just want to say, like, I mean, all the songs, like The Luckiest, Little More You, Women and Wishes are great. Of course, The Highway Kind, you know, the title track. But like Old Men and Rain, man, I just got to say, like, that spoke to me for many reasons. So I just wanted to say,
I appreciate that. You know, if I was on the stand and the podium in front of the whole world and they said, play your best song, I'd play Old Men and Rain, because I think lyrically moves in a way that's really, it's cool. It's a story. It's a story of a man, and it obviously, there's a close relationship with the kind of the author, the person singing, and kind of an appreciation and a respect for him and what he does, you know. And yeah, you know, there's a couple lines in there that they're true, but the timing might be off. You know, I said in the song, he went broke farming in 63, watched Kennedy die the same year on TV. I think he actually went broke farming in 1959, but 1963 and the whole Kennedy thing just felt cooler, you know? So that's part of songwriting, is knowing when something is so factual that it's jarring and it doesn't make the song better. It's okay to change a name or a date or something like that if it makes the song better. So
artist license, you get to do that. Yeah. You're creating the album.
Yeah. Artistic. Yep. That's right. Artistic licensing. So yeah, I wrote that about my wife's grandpa. He's been a huge figure for me. I would say father figure, but honestly, he's just been an awesome grandfather figure for me.
Nice.
My mom's dad died when I was 4. So I really don't remember him. I have a couple memories of him.
Yeah.
My dad's dad, we were pretty close, but he died when I was in college. I was 24. I think I was a senior, yeah. So haven't had that person in my life, right? I start dating my wife when I'm 35, and I get to meet her grandpa later that year at the age of 36, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, this guy is so awesome. He's literally the grandpa I wish I always had gotten to know. And he's a rancher, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just like that old man that everyone in his community loves. And he knows everyone by name, and he has an amazing memory. He's 85 now. And dude, I'm telling you, he still lifts 50-pound bags of corn and feed and feeds his cows and knows everybody by name and remembers every combination to every lock on every, you know, lease. So yeah. It's crazy, but he's just that great. And I love him dearly. And so writing that song, I'm really proud of. And I really appreciate you listening to that one.
Yeah, no doubt. And I love the fact, like, you know, just you said, like, he's still lifting the bags and all that stuff. There's something to be said for someone still being able to do what they do, especially that, like, hard work. You know, by the end of the day, your hands are just dirty and you got to, like, take, like, 3 bars of soap to clean them and all that. So I think there is something to, you know, working hard every day and still having that memory right there with that. And one more question before the Fatherhood Quick Five. Is there anyone you would love to work on a song or an album with that you haven't had a chance to just yet?
Yeah, you know, so at some point down the line, and I don't know when it'll be, I really hope I can get Jason Isbell to produce a record for me. Because what he does is so different than what I do. He's just so respected as a singer-songwriter that I would love to be able to write a collection of songs that he would be like, man, I love these. I'll produce this for you. So my goal is one day to work with him. I know that's kind of a random answer.
It's a perfect answer, man. Again, creative license. That's what you want to work with, right? Like, I appreciate your honesty, and it's something that, you know, you hopefully put out there in the universe, and it'll come back, and you'll be able to work with him, man. That'd be great, man. I'd be looking forward to that.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, man.
No problem. Now we got the Fatherhood Quick Five. And again, you have a 3-month-old, so maybe this is just geared for you, your wife, and your daughter right now. Favorite family movie in the house right now, what is it?
Trolls 2, okay. World Tour.
Nice. And this might, again, this might, I'll say, like, I usually ask, like, favorite family song, or depending on the age range, sometimes you don't have one because of different, you know, eclectic tastes and all that. So if you don't have a favorite family song, is there an artist you can't wait to introduce your kids to?
Yeah, well, we do have a family favorite song right now. It's a song that I wrote for my daughter, and I've been singing to her since she was a baby, and she now has most of it memorized. I'll record it one day and put it out there, but it's a really fun, catchy song about getting a nap, because I wanted her to think of nap time in a positive way. So, that's probably the popular song around here, but she also, it's funny, I've got a side project, a side band called the Panhandlers, and it's a very, like, 1980s Texas country sound. It's cowboy country. It wasn't meant to be commercial. We didn't make a big deal about the release. Me and 3 other lead singers of different bands got together and wrote an album and recorded it. And we were kind of, we just put it out really low key. And one of the songs on there is a song I wrote called This Is My Life. And my daughter walks around singing that one randomly sometimes. So that's always fun. But you know what? You talk about an artist I'd love for her to get to listen to. I really hope that she listens to female artists and becomes inspired by their confidence and such. So singers like, you know, Kacey Musgraves and Miranda Lambert, Carly Pierce, Maren Morris, and Amanda Shires Isbell, Jason Isbell's wife, who's a longtime friend of mine. I knew her in college.
Nice.
So I hope that those are the kind of, you know, female figures that she looks up to and wants to listen to their music.
Oh, that's fantastic. And again, I know 2020, crazy year, not really traveling, of course, but describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Oh, well, perfect family. Let me tell you, the best piece of advice I ever got was a buddy of mine who told me that if your kids go, it's not a vacation. It's a trip.
Yep.
So when you say perfect family vacation, that's me and my wife going to Cabo and my kids being here with my mom. If you're talking about the perfect family trip, we really love the zoo. We've taken my daughter to a couple zoos now, and actually we are, I've set up a zoo, kind of a private zoo tour for her next week. We're going to take her to the San Antonio Zoo, which is about an hour and a half south of Austin. And so, that's kind of our thing. She loves the animals, and getting a little vitamin D and sunshine is always good for the soul.
Oh, love that, man. That's it's funny you mentioned that. There's a few dads I've interviewed over the years who've said that. Like, I remember Grant Hill. I think he was the first person to say that. He's like, there's 2 types of vacations. So I love that. I always love asking this when I have a chance to chat with a musician. Do you remember your first album that you purchased?
I do. It was DC Talk Jesus Freak in the early 90s, like 1993. I was 12 years old, I think, when that thing came out. And, you know, my parents basically, all they'd let me listen to was Christian music.
Yeah.
So I loved that record because it was a little more edgy than any of the other Christian music that had ever come out. But then I remember the next record, I think I remember purchasing just a few years later, I think. So mid to late 90s, I don't know, 96, 97, I purchased a Pearl Jam album.
Oh, nice.
And that was so cool because I was like, hell yeah.
I love that. I think, honestly, like, everybody knows their, like, if a musician I've spoken to, or producer, whatever the case may be, they know their first album. It's almost like, yes, you know, because of the passion you have for music will land you into this career field. So I love it. And again, the last question here, they're kind of young, but what is the top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad?
Oh, wow. What a great question. I hope they describe me as present, protective, and a provider. You know, I mentioned that earlier. Mm. To provide and protect is my, that's my main objective. So, on top of that, just being present. Nice. All three start with a P, so there you go.
I love it. It's the, yeah. No, it's the radio. I used to work in radio. And so, of course, you know, with your field, you work with radio people. So, you know, like, two for Tuesday, alliteration, everything works. So I was like, when you had the first two words, I'm like, please finish off with a P, because it's just the radio with me, the letter P. Yeah. So I love that, man.
Yep. P cubed or whatever it would be.
People make
you can't call it the PPP because now that's the loan program the government gives out. So
people make sure you follow Josh on Twitter at Josh Abbott Band and purchase a new album, The Highway Kind, wherever you purchase music. And definitely check out the band's website, joshabbottband.com. Josh, I know we kind of spoke a little bit longer than we were scheduled for, but I appreciate you making time for me. I love your take on fatherhood. I appreciate you kind of just being open and honest, and I know a lot of dads will appreciate your fatherhood journey, and I wish you and your family continued success in the future, sir.
Man, I genuinely enjoyed this talk. Thank you for letting me get to talk about something other than music, you know, because that's usually what these are about. It's usually about the music or whatever, and getting to talk about your kids is always the win.
Oh, it's my pleasure, sir.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.